All right, well, welcome to our discussion from Parshat Nitzavim Vayelech, discussion of writing for yourself a Torah, the mitzvah, or not a mitzvah, of writing a Torah for yourself. Let's take a look. So firstly, where does it say in the Torah that you should write for yourself a Torah? So it's an interesting source. Let's take a look. And now, Kitvu lachem et shirah zot lamedah b'nei Yisrael sima b'fihem. L'man tiyah shirah zot la'ed b'nei Yisrael. Now, therefore, write this song for yourselves and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths. This song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel, for the children of Israel. So, the song. What is the song? Well, it's very clear. Next week's Parsha. Next week is actually be Rosh Hashanah, but the Parsha after that will be Hazinu. Parsha's Shabbos Shuvah. Hazinu. Hazinu is a song. It's written like a song in columns, parallelism, and it's a song about the history of the Jewish people. So write this down. So that doesn't sound like a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah, does it? In fact, Rashi says, write the song Hazinu. Write the song of Hazinu, the Parsha of Hazinu, the Parsha about, you know, listen up, the sky should listen, everybody should listen, and I'm going to tell you how I was good to the Jews and they rebelled against me and they were almost destroyed, but God doesn't want the enemy to say that God doesn't exist or that God is no good. So God is going to atone for us and is going to save us. So so Rashi thinks it's the text of next week's Parsha. That's what you have to write down. That's the simple meaning of the text. Not the rabbinic meaning, but the simple meaning of the text. Now, Ibn Ezra, who's very enamored with the simple meaning of the text and the contextual meaning, he says it's a mitzvah shiktov to Moshe, gam kol mevi yiktov. Should write this, and everybody who understands it should write it. Is he referring to writing all of the Torah, the whole Torah? That's not clear. But it might be that even the Ibn Ezra, who's very enamored with the simple meaning of the text, he also thinks that the context here is to write a Torah. For each person who knows how to write a Torah should write a Torah. The Ramban is also a great rabbinic luminary, but also is interested in the simple meaning. He says, "Al derech hapshat, the simple meaning is Moshe and Yehoshua. You Moshe and Yehoshua, should write this song, and they both have to write it because." After all, Moshe is the one who's giving the Torah, giving this story and this song. And then we want Yehoshua also to have this song as a testament that the Jews should try to keep the Torah because otherwise, you know, terrible things will happen. However, the Gemara in Sanhedrin takes this verse differently. I'm a Rava, maybe it's a different rabbi. Anyway, even though you inherited the Torah from your father, grandfather, mitzvah lichto mishlo, you should write your own Torah. How do we know that? So they quote the pasuk in this week's parsha. Ata kitvu lachem shirah zot. Write down this song. So apparently the Torah is referred to as a song. The whole Torah is a song. Okay. Eitz vei Abaye asked the question. He says, wait a second. Kotev lo sefer Torah lishmo shlo yidna b'shel acharim. Nalachin yadyod lo. Only the king, he has to write a Torah, not other people. Regular people don't have to write a Torah. So Talmud says, no, he has to write two Torahs. Regular people have to write one Torah. Okay. But the Talmud, in passing, mentions that you have to write your own Torah based on this week's parsha. The Meiri says, mitzvah kol adam lichtov sefer Torah. It's a mitzvah on every person to write a Torah for themselves. Afilo inicholo avosav, even if his ancestors left him a Torah. How is a king who has to write a Torah different than a Jew who writes a Torah? See, the king, it's very explicit. The king has to write a Torah. And if his parents didn't leave many, he has to write two. And we only have to write one. Don't think that the king only writes the Devarim, Deuteronomy, Kol Torah, the regular Torah. Why does it say the king writes a Mishnah Torah? Because he has two, One that he takes with him, and one that he leaves in his treasure. Good. The Rambam, Miri's just following the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the laws of Sefer Torah, just follows the laws of tefillah prayer. Mitzvahs I say, I'll call every single man among the Jews must write a Torah, a Sefer Torah, for themselves. As it says, he quotes this week's parsha, Vata kitvu lachem et shirazot, write this Torah. Klomar, in other words, tefuat ha-zorah sheyesh bo shirazo. So now Rambam connects the whole thing. He says, the Torah tells us to write the Song of Hazinu. That's what the simple meaning is. But no, they say it's a mitzvah to write the whole Torah. Why? Because you're not allowed to write one little section of the Torah. If you write this section, you have to write the whole thing. And today we're very lenient. We write this and we write that. But in those days, they only wrote one thing. Either a whole Chumash, like Bamidbar, Bereishis, Devarim, Deuteronomy. But they did not write just one page. But he says, no, if you have to write the one page, the song, you have to write the whole Torah, so there'll be a kosher version of the song inside that Torah. So it's a very roundabout way of saying that you should write a Torah. Because you can't write a Torah with little sections. You have a little book with you, it's Hazinu. And you said, this is my Torah. You're not allowed to do that. Even though you already inherited the Torah. He's got a beautiful Torah. His father wrote it 20 years ago. What's wrong? You can use that one. Mitzvah lichto ishlo. You should write your own Torah. That's a big problem. It cost about $40,000 to write a Torah. I don't know how to write my own Torah. It costs $40,000. You know, I can make myself poor. And, you know, some people couldn't afford it at all. I'm going to take my retirement fund. How am I going to get $40,000 to write a Torah? So it's a big problem here. Vimkasro biyado. To write it yourself, it's as if you got it from Mount Sinai. It's a beautiful thing. If you can't write it, you can hire somebody to write it for you. And then we get one leniency here, which is very relevant today, because we have a lot of Torahs like that in our shul. If you can fix even one letter in the Torah, it's as if you write the whole thing. Now, sometimes they take that to mean that you go to a big party where they're dedicating a new Torah, and you write one letter, so you get a mitzvah as if you wrote the whole Torah. Or maybe it means like this. Get a Torah from your father. But the Torah is missing one letter. It's not kosher. So you know what you'll do? You'll fix that one letter as if you fixed the whole Torah. Let's take a look. We'll see the Shulchan Aruch later, the Code of Jerusalem. The Rosh writes in the laws of Sefer Torah. He starts off the beginning of the laws of Sefer Torah. The Rosh has these little laws of different things, including the laws of Torah, in the end of Menachos. If you look in the tractate in the Talmud, after Menachos, one of the sections that deals with tefillin and mezuzah, although generally it's talking about sacrifices and the meal offerings, but it has a whole section talking about mezuzah and tefillin. So the Rosh codifies the laws of Sefer Torah in that section. So he writes as follows. When do we have a mitzvah to write a whole Torah? Zebedor shall we shine him. That's the original generation of Kosin Sefer Torah long ago. They would write a Torah and they would read and learn from that Torah. I have a cousin, Josh Daniels. He has his own Torah, takes it out of the safe, and he learns it, goes over the parsha. But that's very unusual. Today, generally, if you want to learn Chumash, you don't take it out of the Aron Kodesh. It's not nice. We consider only take it out on Shabbos, Monday, Thursday. We don't take it out in general. So today we leave it in the shul to read it publicly. So therefore, how are you going to have a Torah? How are you going to learn Torah in general? You know what you should do? It's a mitzvah for you, according to what you can afford, to write chumashim, to write Devarim, Bamidbar, Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, to write the Leviticus, to write particular books of the Torah called the Chumash, one-fifth of the Torah. Or you could buy a Mishnah. You could buy a Gemara. Like in the early days, they didn't write these things down, but today we do. So it's a mitzvah to buy these things and learn them. Think about them, you and your children. So he says, why? What do you mean? The Torah says you have to write a Torah. How can you get away with buying Mishnayos? I don't understand. So he's ki mitzvah ksivas haTorah ki lilmod ba. The mitzvah of writing a Torah is not a mitzvah to have one. You see, I have a closet over there. There's a Torah. I got a mitzvah. No, that's not a mitzvah. A mitzvah to have a Torah in your closet. You take it out every day and you learn it. But we don't do that anymore. People would say, Rabbi, what are you learning from a Torah from? Learn from a printed book. That's not nice. You can't just take out the Torah whenever you want to. It's a mitzvah to learn from it. He says, let's go back to the first verse. What did it say? The verse said, teach it to the Jews. Write a Torah and teach it. So if you can't teach it, if it's sitting in a closet in an Aron Kodesh, you can't. It's locked up. You can't teach anybody. So therefore, you have to, nowadays, use books that we have access to, namely, writing, today we would say, the printed books. In those days, they would write it or they get a scribe to write it for them. You can't just open a chumash and we're going to know the whole Torah. No, you have to learn the Gemara. That's where you find out the laws. Today we have a Shulchan Aruch, we have Code of Jewish Law, we have a Bridge Code of Jewish Law, we have different books that tell us the different laws. Today, that's the mitzvah. Those are the books you have to read. Those are the books you have to buy and write. Namely, the books that we can learn from to find out the law, what to do. But it's not just learning in theory. We want to know what to do. So we need Shulchan Aruch, we need Gemaras to find out. We got Mala Machram, and therefore it has the same status as a Torah. Just like you don't sell a Torah, you buy it, you have a mitzvah to write a Torah, and then you're going to sell it. Well, how are you going to learn Torah? So do today. If you have all your books, thank God, you got to keep them. You don't sell them unless you need some to learn Torah. In other words, the whole idea of writing a Torah is to learn Torah. But I can't afford to go to yeshiva because I can't afford tuition. So I sell my books so I can go to the yeshiva. That accomplishes the same thing. Or Lisa Isha. There's a leniency also if you need to marry a woman, perhaps to redeem the captives. These are things that, you know, you have to do that. So that would be an excuse. You have to analyze why that particular excuse works here. You have a similar excuse for why don't Jews live in Israel? Well, I have to make a living, or I need to marry a woman who lives elsewhere. Generally, we don't go out of Israel unless you have to learn Torah or to marry a woman or to make a living. Same thing over here. It's a big mitzvah to keep your Torah, but keep your books. If you need to marry a woman, you can sell the books to have a few dollars. Okay. Why do we do this mitzvah? So the Rush said that the mitzvah is to have it so you can learn it, learn from it. What about the famous Sefer HaChinuch? He always gives us the root of every mitzvah. So he says, Mishar Shem Mitzvah, the root of the mitzvah. We know everybody does things according to how much preparation they do. Therefore, God commended us. You have to have a Torah that you can have ready to learn from any time. You shouldn't have to go running to your neighbor to find out what it says in the Torah. You learn know how to fear God and how to follow God. You'll know how to know the mitzvahs, to understand the mitzvahs, the beautiful, precious, treasured mitzvahs were more treasured than gold. We're told to try very hard with this. Every single Jew has to try hard. It's particularly incumbent upon men who are involved more with Torah learning. Women have to carry out all the mitzvahs. They also get a mitzvah if they study too. Even though your parents gave you a Torah, you have to get a Torah. Why? Have more books. You know, your kids had 100 books. You could have another 100 books. Now you got 200 books. It's terrific. Maybe you could do kindness. Somebody needs a book. You could lend them a book. So you want to have more books so you can lend them out. So then he has a line which I always thought is a very interesting point. It's a very important point for our community, for every community. Every Jew needs to read a nice, fresh, beautiful book. Maybe Jews will be disgusted when they read an old book. They say, if Judaism is about this old book, right, these old tattered books, then you know what? Tattered books. Then what kind of Judaism, what kind of religion is this? This disgusting book. I like a beautiful, fresh book. Oh, this must be very important because it's in such a beautiful cover, beautiful pages, beautiful script, beautiful font. They read the old books from their parents left them from 1,000 years ago. You know, some people enjoy that, an old book. Somebody might say, oh, that's what they had in the olden days. Judaism is old-fashioned, but today we need the new and improved, the better. So he says, we don't want anyone to get that impression. Let them see that Judaism could be updated. Judaism could be fresh and new. The Torah could be fresh and new. No one should think that Judaism somehow is old and stale. It's not an ancient religion. It's a modern religion. We say in the Shema, we commanded to do it every day, and we do it each day. The Sefer HaBatim is a commentary my son's really introduced me to, and it's a book I was very familiar with, but I didn't realize that he had a Sefer HaMitzvos. He has a book about the mitzvos. And there, he describes the mitzvos, and very often he gives reasons as well, often based on the Rambam. So he says, the Shira, Kolelas Kol HaMitzvos, HaKolelas Zos HaShira. Like the Rambam said, this song that we're supposed to write includes all the mitzvos, which the whole Torah, which includes this song. And you have to write the song. So how do you write the song? By writing all the mitzvahs, by writing a whole Torah. Kavanetz mitzvahs mumveres. The meaning of this mitzvah, the intent of this mitzvah is very clear. Shiatzricha l'shlemus adam. You need it for the completion of the human being. Kein uman ela im kein kli im umnaso biyadam. He says, you got to have your kelim. You got to have your tools. If you're a doctor and you're going on a house call, what do you need? You need a bag with your stethoscope, right? Maybe some medicine, whatever you need in a bag. Over the years, it changes what people need. Maybe something you have injections with, right? If you're a rabbi, you need your madrich, you need a certain brachos, you need to go to a wedding, you have to know what blessings should be said. If you're a moyel, you need your tools, right? Everyone, if you're an electrician, you got to have your toolbox, whatever it is. So as students of Torah, we have to have our toolbox. What's our toolbox? And people also, secondly, people enjoy things that they make. You know, if you make a picture, you say, oh, this is the best picture in the world because I drew it. You know, this is the best book because I wrote it. This is the best chair because I made it. So if you could write a Torah, not just buy it, but you make it, people enjoy it. Even things you buy, you know, you say, oh, I bought this. Remember me and my wife and I, we went to Paris and we got this special painting. And you always remember how you bought it and you got it. And you're so proud of yourself that you got this special thing. So too, if you buy a Torah, you remember you spend $40,000. It's good. If you write it with your own hands, it's as if you got it from Mount Sinai. That painstaking activity of writing every single word, it makes it like it's yours. You bought it. You got it. You'll always desire. You'll love it. And you'll be so careful. You say, hey, what about that vav over there? Is it really supposed to be a yud or is it a vav? And you'll get more interested in the details of it, how it's exactly kosher when it's exactly written the right way. People like, people desire things that they work hard on more than something that is already done and it's prefab. So therefore, Rabbi said it's a mitzvah in every person to write a Sefer Torah. That's what the Sefer HaBatim says. Rabbi David ben Shmuel Kochavi, who lived in Provence. But let's go to the Shulchan Aruch. Well, we're not floating around here. We need to know the bottom line. Do we have to spend $40,000 writing Sefer Torah, or is there any other solution? You follow the rush, or you could just buy books. So the Shulchan Aruch says as follows in Yordea 270, that's Reish Ayin. Mitzvah, it's a mitzvah on every Jew to write a Torah. Even if your parents gave you a Torah as an inheritance, mitzvah lichto mishlo. You got to write your own, you got to be involved. It has to be beautiful and new and fresh. If you hired a sofer, a scribe, to write a Torah, or you bought it, or it had mistakes, and you fixed it, it's as if you wrote it. So he doesn't say you can write one letter and be done. If you fix the Torah that someone gave you, then that's considered as if you wrote it, because every letter counts. Then he says, Ha'idna, then he quotes the Rush. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rush. Ha'idna mitzvah lichtochum shei Torah mishnah b'yushem lo yunkrim lo yilmod Torah lisaish. It's a little bit ambiguous. He says, nowadays, it's a mitzvah to write Chumash, you know, by Genesis, whatever, Mishnah, by the Mishnayas, the Gemara, and the commentators. And also, with just like you can't sell a Torah, you shouldn't sell these books unless you need to learn Torah, tuition, or Lisa Isha, you have to get married. It's a big mitzvah to get married, so you may have to sell some books to afford to get married. Now, it's not clear. What is he saying? Is he saying that in addition to the mitzvah to buy a Torah, you have to buy books to read from too? Or is he saying, no, the olden days, it's mitzvah to write a Torah. And nowadays, it's mitzvah to buy books that you can actually read and learn from and find out the law. So that is not clear. So we go to the commentaries on Shulchan Aruch. Are we off the hook? Can we just buy some books and not buy a Torah? So the Taz, Rabbi, his first name was David, lived in the 1600s, and he wrote one of the two main commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. We'll see the other one, the Shach, in a moment. So he writes his father that the Tur, in the name of his father, the Rush, said the same thing. You know, the Shulchan Aruch was predated by the Tur, and the Tur's father was the Rush. So this opinion that you could get away with books goes back to sort of the grandfather of Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is modeled after the Tur, and the Tur is the son of the Rush, and the Rush said, you could just buy books. So, Upirish Beis Yosef, the rabbi who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, explains in his commentary, called the Beis Yosef, his commentary on the Tur, that the Lobaliv Torah Sana Mikhsiva Sever Torah. The Rush is not coming to tell us you don't need to write a Torah. As rabbi, you should live Torah. No, we should write a Torah. You should buy a Torah, write a Torah, and you should learn from it. He's telling you that you also need to buy Svarim, these books. However, with Drisha Cholakalav, the Drisha, one of the commentaries on the Tur, disagrees with the Beis Yosef, with the Shulchan Aruch. And he says, no. Ain lan alumba mi sefer Torah. So we don't learn from a sefer Torah. You don't take out a Torah just to learn from it. You don't treat a Torah that way. Remember, I was a bar mitzvah. I was a little kid. And I was reading the Torah in Rabbi Doljan al Shalom Shul. Rabbi Doljan was a rabbi from California. He moved to Israel. And he had a little shul. So he wanted to hear me on Thursday night. He wanted to hear me read the Torah. So I was going to read from my bar mitzvah. I was going to read on Shabbos. So I figured, he'll take out the Torah, I'll read from it. I get to the shul and he says, where's your tikkun? Where's your book there to read from? So, I want to tell the rabbi he should take out the Torah. So I said, I don't know. I don't know what to say. All right, read from the Chumash. So we read from the Chumash. Luckily, he played a trick and I was able to figure out if I knew how to read. But the point is, why didn't he take out the Torah from the Ark? I don't know, maybe he didn't have the key. But I think the real reason was, he felt like you don't just take out a Torah. You take out a Torah to see if the bar mitzvah kid can read. We don't just take out Torah. You take out a Torah when you're reading for publicly. And many Balei Kriya do take out a Torah to read from. But it's an interesting question. Can you just take out a Torah? Question was raised also, let's say women want to get together and just read from the Torah. So Rabbi Soloveitchik raised a question. Can you just take out a Torah and read from it? If it's not an official reading, can you do that? So it's an interesting question. So he says, we can't just take out a Torah. You know, now again, the early rabbis might say, of course you can take out a Torah. That's why you have a Torah, so you can take it out and read from it. But he says, no, you shouldn't just treat the Torah lightly and read from it. In the early days, they had to in those days. It was also them lichtov, dapping, dapping. In those days, they had a prohibition. You're not allowed to write just one page of Torah. You had to write the whole thing in the real Torah, in the real way. And they were very smart. They knew how to make drushos, interpretations of the exact crowns on the letters. But now, we don't have that mitzvah to write a Torah, only to buy books. So the Drisha, one of the commentators on the Tur, who was the progenitor of the Shulchan Aruch, thinks that today we only have a mitzvah to buy books and not a mitzvah to write a Torah. Avshafim mashmos loshon ha-rosh, mashma Yosef divrei Drisha. So the Taz, following his father-in-law, the Bach, says, look, it's true. When we read the Rush, it sure sounded like he was saying that in the olden days you read a Torah, today we just buy books. However, and therefore the Drisha seems to be correct. However, the Beis Yosef's right. You can't erase a mitzvah in the Torah to write a there's a mitzvah in the Torah to write a Torah, Sefer Torah, simple. What it means, what it says. You can't erase that mitzvah, so to speak, and say, no, you only have to buy books. How can you erase the mitzvah? So the Taz thinks it's good to write a Torah. The Shach, however, who's one of the more predominant commentators on the Yoredeya, on the Shulchan Aruch, he says, Ken Nira Yikar Rosh, the main interpretation, the main law is like the Rosh, the Loka Beis Yosef, not like the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch, the Rabbi Yosef Kar, wrote a book called the Beis Yosef, commenting on the tour. No, and the Bach, the father-in-law of the Taz, of that other rabbi. No. They say that there's even a mitzvah to write a Torah today. No. They say you also should write it. You know, should buy books. No. He says, no, that's not the interpretation, what the way the Beis Yosef says, the Bach says it, the Taz says. No. Now, it's true. The Lavush and the Magid Mishnah, they agree with the Beis Yosef, but we don't agree with that. So the Shach seems to let us off the hook. If we buy books, Baruch Hashem, I have a lot of books, it's good enough. The Vilna Gaon explains the reasoning of the Rosh. The whole idea of writing a Torah is to learn from it. As it says, write a Torah and teach it. If you can't teach it because it's sitting in a locked building in the synagogue, it's closed for the holidays, you can't learn from it. In those days, the only thing written was a Torah. So you had to write it. You had to buy it. You had to write a Torah. But today, we write everything. So since we write everything, you got to buy that. That's what you have to buy. Buy the oral Torah, buy the commentaries on the Torah, buy a Chumash, buy the printed books. That's how we get the mitzvah today. The Vilna Gaon supports the Shach and takes the position that the main thing is to buy real books. If we just take a peek at going back for a second at the tour. He says, but the main thing is to learn from it, etc. So he quotes his father, the Rosh. That was only in those days, but today we just need to write to buy the books. Because the whole idea of the writing, of having a Torah, is to learn from it. It's not a matter of owning one so it's sitting in a closet somewhere. That's not the idea. Now, those who do the great kindness and buy a Torah for the synagogue so they can have the mitzvah to read it every Shabbos, of course, it's a great mitzvah. Not only do they fulfill the mitzvah, but also they're enabling the entire congregation to get the mitzvah every Shabbos. It's wonderful. So that's certainly a great mitzvah. And certainly there's no question that on their mitzvah. When I buy books, so you could question that according to the Taz, I didn't get the mitzvah of writing a Torah. If you buy a Torah and you give it to the shul, then for sure you get a mitzvah. Should you have it in your house? You have a separate closet, a separate place. It's okay. Some people say, you know, be very careful. After all, is there any bedroom on top of that or the bathroom? Or any? You have to be very careful about the honor of the Torah. So there's a big question about that as well. As we said, the Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, when he wrote his primer, when he wrote his commentary on the tour, he doesn't like what the Rosh said, taking away a mitzvah. But he does mention the following. Because of Rabbeinu Yerucham, Al-Divrei HaRosh, a rabbi from Provence, known as Rabbeinu Yerucham, who probably lived around the same time as the Rosh, but he lived in a different country. He says, you know what? King Kosovo Agon. He claims that the earlier rabbis, the rabbis before Rashi, before the Rambam, also said that it's a mitzvah to buy the books, not just to have a Torah. So based on that, we see the Rosh is not just making up his own kind of thing, but apparently some of the early rabbis said that as well. If we take a break for a second, we'll take a look at we had the Gemara in 21b. We can look in the Sefer Otzer Agonim, and just take a break for 1 second. Let's see if he quotes any other Gaonim, any other early rabbis who said the same thing. In any event, so that's an interesting idea. There may be an additional source for this idea of the Rosh. Not that the Rosh in the 13th century makes up this idea, but that actually it goes back to the Gaonim, it goes back to the earlier rabbis, and there's a basis for that. So it seems that the bottom line is we can get away with several different ideas. One is to buy a Torah that's rather old and not have all the proper letters, and to fix it. We get a mitzvah that way. Second idea is to buy books, and through those books, that's the main idea, is to learn to study from the book. And the best way to do that is today is to have printed books, and all the books that we have today that are printed so beautifully. Buy them, you learn them, you lend them out to others, you share them, you teach them to your children, you have around the house so the children see it. And I know when my children were little, I would say, "Share, give me the Rambam." So where's the Rambam? That's the big books on the bottom over there. And he would see, that's the Rambam. This is the Mishnayos. And after a while, he knew where all the books were. And then maybe you could pick it up himself to learn by himself as well. So it's beautiful to have your own books and Sefarim. I'm thank God I'm able to have that. For those who are able to buy a Torah, it's a beautiful thing. If you can even have a Torah that you learn from, it's nice. It's the original way of doing it, but some suggest that it's not proper. How can you have a Torah in your house? Can you really give it the proper honor? Is it proper to just take it out whenever you feel like it? Study today, we tend to treat a Torah more honorifically, more special, that it doesn't just come out whenever you feel like studying. But if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, I have a cousin, Big Tam Chacham, then he has his own Torah, keeps it locked up in a special place. A little Torah, he takes it out, goes over the Parsha, is able to enjoy it. So there are different ways of doing this mitzvah, but the main thing is to study. It's interesting, is there a second view that it's not about learning? Is there a second view? Is Taz saying that, no, you have to have it, you have to have one, and it's just a mitzvah to, it's a process of writing it, buying it, you feel close to it, attachment to it. Maybe this is a second theory about what this mitzvah is all about. However, this predominant view, the Shach and the Gra and the Rush and the Tur, they're saying, no, the whole idea is to learn. And if you're going to buy it, put it in the synagogue and lock it up. And when you read it once every 2 years, sometimes the shul has so many Torahs, they never get around to reading it. Then that's not the mitzvah at all. But it's a very interesting question. And it's a very interesting mitzvah and a very important one. And the main thing is to study. So thanks for joining us today. And we hope you enjoyed our presentation. Thank you very much.